Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li am wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin today's show in the name of Allah. All praise is due to Allah. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiatina a'malina. And we begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. I'm your host, Tasneem, and this is the show to help you overcome unhealthy habits and old patterns so that you can reclaim your magic and create more of what you want in your life. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I have an exciting show lined up for today. I'm super excited because I have a very special guest with me in the studio today. My very best friend, Zahira Kareem. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the show, Appa Zahira.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and to the listeners of Radio Islam. It's good to be back.
Okay, I'm so overwhelmed and I'm so excited. Just excuse my over-enthusiasm in today's show, inshallah. And what we're speaking about is something we're both very, extremely passionate about. And inshallah, also later on in the show, Appa Zahira will be sharing with us some of exciting news, and especially to all the UK listeners out there, please stay tuned and don't touch that dial. So today we're speaking all about strong women. And alhamdulillah, we're so passionate about women empowerment. So here's to strong women. May we know them, may we be them, and may we be raised amongst them, inshallah. And may we raise them as well, as in terms of our daughters. So subhanAllah, we have so many examples from the Sharia in the lives of the Sahabiyat. Inshallah, we'll be taking a look at some of the lives of the Sahabiyat and the experiences they went through. And, you know, there's so many lessons that we can learn from their stories, inshallah. Abba Zahira, what would you like to say today to all the listeners out there listening?
I've got a lot of things to say and I'm so overwhelmed as well. But alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful topic. And I think it's good to make reference always to the inspiring women of our past and the wives and daughters of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our history, but then also to try and be that way as well. These stories are not just there as stories, they're there for us to learn and try and implement them as well, inshallah, in our lives.
Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. The lines are open, the number to call is 011-854-1548. Please do give us a call. You know, when we think about the Quran and the Revelation, it was revealed at a time when female infants were being buried alive, you know, in the desert, because it wasn't beneficial to have a girl child. And what can you share about that, you know, just thinking about that?
See, I think a lot of us, we know the past of our history, and we understand that Islam came in a lot of women abuse, and they didn't have a voice, they didn't have much to say, etc. And then Islam came and liberated women. So alhamdulillah, we know that women started inheriting, laws on women started getting revealed. There's a whole surah in the Quran dedicated to women. There's not a single surah named after men in the Quran. And so that in itself is an honor and a sign of Allah's mercy on us and the liberation of Muslim women. So alhamdulillah for being Muslim right now.
SubhanAllah. And this was not only in Arabia, but literally all across the world at that time. I mean, this was the standard around the world. This was the norm. At that time, women were being treated as objects of property. The Quran gave women the right to education, the right to choose who they want to marry, the right to divorce if need be, the right to keep your father's name or family name even after marriage, subhanAllah. The right to keep your income as financial security and freedom, and as well as the right of inheritance, and the list goes on and on and on.
Yes.
So subhanAllah, we are so fortunate as Muslim women today. You know, and I think you working in the field and you working in the context of women on a daily basis, tell us more about Ummahat Madrasa.
So Ummahat, I mean, as the name suggests, alhamdulillah, is a madrasa dedicated to us aspiring to be like the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And I feel like as Muslim women in today's community and society, we don't have role models, we don't have places to run to. I also noticed that aside from our Alima madrasas and our Maktab madrasas, there's nothing else for us to do. So our kids are going to one, and then the ulama are going to another. And then what happens to the in-between, the people that want to learn about Islam, that want to be better Muslims, that are just on a journey that even they don't understand? And so we like to say the normal, everyday, today people, we need to offer a platform for them as well. And so before I even introduce anything about the madrasa, I need the listeners to understand that Ummahat is not an alima madrasa. You will not leave as a graduate as an alima. However, it's for the everyday today woman trying to aspire to be better, for the girl trying to wear hijab, for the woman who just doesn't know enough or feels like they don't know enough, and we all don't know enough. So it's for you and I, basically. And so, in the madrasa, we try to focus on the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, woman-related masail. We discuss the Anbiya, the Sahaba. We have a lot of psychology that we bring into the madrasa as well. And we integrate all of this here, and we talk to the ladies. They welcome to come and go as they please. There's no exams. There's nothing like that. It's just a matter of us uniting as an ummah. And I don't know if any of the listeners have seen our logo. It's spelled Ummah Heart, and the heart is spelled like heart, as in your heart, that's in your chest. And so the aim of this whole madrasa came about where I felt like, we don't even know our neighbors. We don't know anything about our communities. We go for ta'alim, we get up, we leave. But when someone gets sick, we don't feel their pain. When someone is going through something, we don't feel it. When someone loses their husband, to go to sit at the janazah, it feels awkward. Mm-hmm. But you see, through ilm, we somehow unite through knowledge. Because we all have one purpose. We all go to a certain place because we want to be better Muslims and all of that. And so the friends that you make in the path of Allah tend to be more meaningful, better friends. And so everyone comes to madrasa from a different community. So in Roshni we have two madrasas, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. In Houghton we have one, Binoni we have one, Lens we have one, we've got one, gosh, in Santon we have in Azadville. And so what we do is we go, the ladies come to madrasa. Oh, you don't have to have any basic knowledge even, you just come and we learn together. Everyone gets to know one another, they speak. What comes up in the lessons tend to be so interesting because you're getting to know one another and you're getting to know your deen as well. And so, alhamdulillah, we form a bond where the ummah is getting united as Muslims. We're getting united and we are learning. And I always say, and it's one of the slogans of the madrasa, that it starts with your heart. That if you don't have a heart, you're not going to get together as an ummah even. And so, alhamdulillah, we formed many, many communities, many madrasas. Everyone gets very close to one another, alhamdulillah. And, you know, I mean, we know each other for such a long time. And, I mean, you know me before we even had Ummahat. And it was just, we were doing hijab support group together and whatever it may be. And I always wanted to have a madrasa. And I have a message to the ladies out there, to the young girls, to the bigger ladies, whatever it may be. I have a message to you that you don't have to have everything to fulfill your dreams. You don't have to have property. You don't have to have a lot of money. All you need to do is believe in yourself. You need to know who Allah is. And you need to have friends and family that support you. If you have that, you have gold. Because, I mean, we know each other for quite some time now. And Tasneem can bear testament to that, that when I started teaching madrasa, I just had one student. It started with Tasneem as my one student. That was Ummahat. Ummahat was myself and Tasneem. And then from there we became three. And then from there, alhamdulillah, we went into a Jamaat Kana.
And grew and grew, mashallah.
And alhamdulillah, it grew. We were, I think, the first class, the actual, like, proper class was 8 students. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah, you started at humble beginnings, mashallah. And I think, like you're saying, just believing in yourself and believing, you know, having a heart, that's where it all starts from. But this is where a lot of listeners out there struggle. You know, we struggle with our self-worth, we don't know who we are. You know, and let's not confuse culture with religion. And this goes out to all the sisters, and I speak to myself first. And, you know, my darling sister, you think you have a raw deal. Because culturally, sometimes your husband might oppress you. Culturally, he abuses you. And they do this in the religion, in the name of religion. I have news for you, my darling sister. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you to keep your name. You get married, and according to the law, you are Mrs. So-and-so. But to Allah, you are the daughter of so-and-so, and you've got your own name, and you've got your own voice. And this is the ni'mat, and this is the gift that you've been given as a Muslimah, as a Muslim sister. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen to it through His Sharia that you have your own wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has seen to it that you have, you know, you get your own portion of inheritance and you keep to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees to it that no matter what you earn, your husband has to provide for you. And alhamdulillah, we're all for teamwork, and marriage is all about teamwork. But this is the haq and this is the sharia, and lots of women don't know this, and they confuse culture with religion. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sharia. This is not, I'm not making this up. This, we are not an object of desire or objectification. This has been done in the West. And you know, sometimes we confuse culture with religion, and we see what's happening out there in the media, and this is how they portray Muslim women to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a pillar and a builder of the society that you are part of. And we need to be extremely socially responsible and socially active. And how have you, you know, just starting this vision and this mission of Ummahat, how have you been able to empower women in the community?
I think I can give you two answers that I think our people struggle with a lot. Is one is to be less judgmental. I think the only way you're going to be able to get a message across to someone else is to stop looking at what they're wearing and how educated they are and how much they have and how little they have and how little knowledge they have, and just stop judging everybody. Try and go down on that person's level and hopefully give them dawah in you know, in a case where they can understand what you're saying. Instead of, I mean, it's pointless quoting big hadiths and if you can't even go down to that person's level and communicate in a productive way. So I think being less judgmental and not expecting the highest of the high to attend the madrasa, and just our everyday people, alhamdulillah, that has helped tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel also that our ladies, a lot of the older ladies especially, we all went to maktab madrasa and we learned whatever it is, and after that we didn't pursue anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we married and we have children and whatever it is, and we feel shy to say, I don't know that, please teach me that. And so I think a lot comes in where you teach what you think and assume they would want to learn without testing them to see, did you learn or how well do you know it? Because a lot of us are ashamed to say we don't know something, you know. So Ummahat, basically, we teach you, we have no exam, we're just giving dawah, we're teaching and we're getting to know one another, and we don't judge one another. And I think if I had to say what my foundation was, I would say that is the foundation of Ummahat.
And I think being a student of Ummahat myself, I think just that very spirit of Ummah, of standing, you know, and supporting each other, and if the sister in the class is going through some difficulty, we all get together as sisters and we, you know, we help support her emotionally, psychologically, yes. And obviously you being the upper, inspiring her with deen and ilm, and ilm is the light that lights up your Sirat al-Mustaqim, and what better place to be in. And I know you always told us, being our ustad, that the friendships that we make in this path of deen are those that will stand the test of time, inshallah.
Yes, definitely.
So I think some of the best friendships we've made is in the classroom, in Ummahat, in any other setting where Allah's name is taken and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beautiful sayings are remembered. So, you know, when we speak about our worth, it's so important to understand who we are as women, and we lack the self-identity. So think about Musa alayhi salam. His life was a success inspired by women. His mother was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His sister ran down, you know, the riverbed following the basket into the castle, and the wife of Fir'aun pleaded on his behalf for Fir'aun to allow her to keep the baby Musa alayhi salam. So we can see from the very onset of Musa alayhi salam's life, he was surrounded by such phenomenal and strong women, subhanAllah. And then we look at the life of my Nabi and your Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what a success. What a success of a powerful woman in Khadija radiallahu anha. You know, we see that she gives up her entire self, her wealth and all that she owns, purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, she financed the deen initially on the onset.
Yes.
The wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we look at Ummi Salama, she gave him counsel, which at the time after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, his companions were having doubts in their hearts about what to do. She counseled him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and mashallah, what beautiful advice she gave him. The household of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, his wives were women who narrated the sunnah and the hadith and the fiqh that you and I study. And we, you know, we try to adhere to and we try to follow until this day, and people will do that until the very end of time, subhanAllah. And this is how their legacies live on and have stood the test of time, literally.
SubhanAllah. You know, I tell my students this, and I will tell the listeners as well, that let's look at Hazrat, the daughters of, just the daughters. I'm not even going to focus on the wives, nothing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had Umm Kulthum and Ruqayya. The two of them were divorced and they came home at the same time. So the Nabi of Allah in his household, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he dealt with two divorced daughters. Right? Then we have the fact that one lost the husband. So at the point where Umm Kulthum was married to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, when Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala an was married to Hazrat Uthman, Uthman loses a wife. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets him married to the next daughter, Umm Kulthum. And so we have two daughters at different times, obviously, marrying the same husband, right? Then we know that between them having children, that one, Umm Kulthum had a child. And then we know that, Ruqayya had a child. And then we know the one didn't have any children. Then we know Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha had so many children. And so Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was the typical housewife that served her family, served her children, was looked after the household, and yet she's the queen of Jannah, right? We have Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, who initially married a man that hadn't yet accepted Islam, and their whole love story and struggle was between her having a husband that didn't want to accept Islam out of force. These are four daughters of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all four experiencing different yet so appropriate to the times that we are going through now issues. Each one of them had an issue where you and I can say, I can relate to that. And it was all in the household of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if this is just the four of them, what else is there that we can benefit and learn from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen?
SubhanAllah, and there's so much, like you're saying, that we can relate to. If we don't find an example in one, we're bound to find an example for ourselves to relate to in another wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or in another daughter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah, it's just gone 14:29, and we will be back on the other side of this. Yes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 14:33. You're on Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Indonesia. Welcome to the Dhikrayat Show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic and how to make the right choices to create a life that you really love. You know, and I believe in choice is empowering, and complacency is boring. Happy looks really, really good, and this is where we need to be, inshallah. I'm your hostess, Neem, and today we're talking about the power of women, self-worth, and the secrets of women who value themselves, speaking about the lives from the women around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahabiyat, inshallah. And I'm super excited. There's such a beautiful vibe in the studio today. I have my very special friend, very special guest in the studio. Apa Zaira Kareem has joined me, and she's speaking all about her upcoming UK tour, where she will be introducing Ummahat Madrasa to the UK audience, inshallah. So, Apa Zaira, tell us more about this upcoming tour in October.
Well, I'm hoping that some of our listeners are actually from England, inshallah, so that at least you get some sort of idea of what's coming your way, inshallah. And I know and understand that it's very difficult to accept and just attend something where you're not familiar with the speaker and all of that. So just a briefing on the tour that we're going to be doing, inshallah. When I say me, I mean myself and my husband, inshallah, that we've taken on the initiative of, inshallah, the whole process of Ummahat and what we cover and how we have brought the ladies together over here with simple yet profound information and knowledge, inshallah, to take that over to England, to four different communities. Let's spread the word, inshallah. We will be hosting a two-day workshop in each community. And based on the feedback that we get, and inshallah the interest that we get, we can maybe train one or two of the alimas over there. Because like I said, we're not dealing with alima students or anything like that. It's just the normal public, which are mostly adults and the youth and youngsters, teenagers, newlyweds, all of that. And we're hoping to, inshallah, if we get a good vibe from them in the UK, then inshallah we will consider setting up a few madrasas over there where our ulama from that I studied with as well can obviously inshallah teach over there as well and do the same thing that we are doing right here. Right,
mashallah,
now.
So it's Ummahat going global, mashallah. Okay. May Allah accept all your intentions and take you from strength to strength.
Amen.
You know, just before the break, we were speaking about women in Islam as leaders, as innovative, strong, not only emotionally strong, but politically and economically strong as well. And if we look at the life of Khadija radiallahu anhu, she literally financed the Islamic movement in its infancy. So subhanAllah, these are the women that have left legacies behind, and these are the footsteps that we follow in. So as Muslim women, the word strong and women is synonymous. You know, it's one word, alhamdulillah. And we should start seeing ourselves, and we should start acknowledging our own worth so that we can empower other women and inshallah live the best lives that we can live possibly inshallah in the service of Allah and in the service of Allah's creation. I came across a beautiful story in the Fadhail-e A'mal about Hazrat Sophia. And I just like to share it with all the listeners. And I hope it moves you as much as it moved me. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha was the aunt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a real sister of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. So you can already see who we're dealing with. You know, I mean, this is the lion of Allah. Am I correct, Abu Zayd?
Yes,
okay. So she took part in the Battle of Uhud. When the Muslims were defeated and some of them began to flee from the battle, she would smite their faces with her spear and excite them back to go back and fight. In the War of the Khandaq, the trench, the Prophet ﷺ had collected all the Muslim women in a fortress and had deputed Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu to look after them. The Jews, who were always on the lookout for such opportunity for doing mischief, surrounded the place and sent one of their men to go and have a look to see if the women were really protected by men or were they vulnerable and alone. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha happened to see the Jew approaching the fort, and she said to Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, and just listen to this, she says, "There is a Jew coming to spy on us. You go out and kill him." Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu was a weak person. He did not make bold to go, you know, to do the job. He was actually afraid to go out and kill the man. Safiya radiallahu anha got hold of a tent peg and went outside the fortress and gave a blow on the head of the Jew that killed him on the spot. She came back and said to Hassan, "The man is dead. I have not removed the clothes and arms from his body for reasons of modesty. Now you go and remove everything from his body. Also bring his head after severing it from the body." Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu was too weak-hearted to do even that. She herself went again and brought his head and threw it over the wall amidst the Jews. When they saw this, they said, "We were wondering how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam could keep the women folk alone in this fort. Surely there are men inside to guard the ladies." Subhanallah, this is Safiya radiallahu anha. She died in 20 AH at the age of 73. The War of the Trench was fought in 5 AH. She was there for around age 58 at that time. These days, if you think a lady of that age, you know, we're hardly able to do our own domestic chores, never mind, you know, fight in war. So alhamdulillah, this is the strength, the mental strength, the physical strength of the women around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what they fought, this is what they did in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to defend not only their own lives, but to defend the lives of other women, and to defend the tawheed, the oneness of, you know, the belief of tawheed and in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Definitely. I think all the listeners and students of Ummahat, and inshallah, whoever it is, you need to understand that if you are a woman, you are a force. You know, there's the whole al-ummu madrasatun, that the mother's lap is the first madrasa of the child. We know that if you teach a woman, you are teaching a nation. Can you imagine if us as women, we stood our ground and we educated ourselves? I mean, we do have a certain kind of power and ranking if we use that to get closer in proximity to Allah by learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ilm makes us feel like a force. And I love using that word because that's what we are.
But Abba Zahira, why do we still struggle? I mean, this is something we all struggle with over the years. And I know we both work with a lot of women in different fields, me in psychology, you in education, alhamdulillah. And, you know, in particular, this has become a problem in our societies. And as parents, as partners, as workers, we focus so much on taking care of other people. And yet we neglect ourselves.
I think generally and naturally Allah made us that way, that Allah has made a woman, a caretaker, the support structure, the caretaker, all of that. And I think as we have so many roles to play. We get married, we have children, then we transport drivers, then we doctors, we so many things. And then to fit ilm in there somewhere, it's not important right now if you have so many other things to focus on. And I think the day we all start realizing that you are important, you are important and you need to fulfill yourself in a certain way where you give yourself some kind of soul food to be stronger in everything else. And I know and have experienced this, that in our busy, hectic lives, when you have your own little cave where you can go and escape and just be somehow inspired by something, you become better in your marriage, in your whatever it may be. And I think women, we just, and we don't like to admit that we don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, women, come on, we don't need Google, we don't need encyclopedia, we don't need anything. You just ask a woman and she knows everything. So to admit that I don't really need to go to madrasa, I know everything, whatever it may be, it's not easy for us.
Mm. It makes me think of a famous saying that says something to that effect, that it's a fool that thinks he knows everything.
Yes.
And it's a wise person that feels they never know enough.
Exactly.
And there's two thirsts, according to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a thirst that will never be quenched. The thirst of knowledge, that will never be quenched. Because once you know more, you only want to know more and more. You feel like you haven't learned enough.
Definitely.
It's like just the tip of the iceberg, and you're just so thirsty and thirsty for more and more information. And the thirst of this dunya. The more we engrossed in this dunya, and the more we have dunya in our heart, the more we'll want of this dunya. So those two thirsts will never be quenched, according to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You know, it sounds super simple, but I'm going to say it to you again and for the listeners, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking knowledge is farad. None of you are going to miss your Fajr Salah, Zuhr Salah. None of you will miss a fast in Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
It's farad, it's compulsory, you have to do it. And then knowledge is farad. Seeking knowledge is farad.
Wow.
It's compulsory. So I don't know how somehow we give preference to
everything else,
and then we forget what feeds our soul.
And we all want Jannah. We all want Jannatul Firdaus. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has promised us that by searching this path of knowledge and by being on this path of knowledge, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala makes the path of Jannah easy for us, inshallah. May Allah Taala accept all our efforts and your efforts, inshallah. But you know, when you don't value yourself, and it all goes back to Man Arafa Nafsahu Arafa Rabbahu, that they who know themselves truly they know their Lord. Because when you don't value yourself, you do things that don't make you happy. And you know, just being in the space where you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, like you said, it's soul food. It gives you a joy and a contentment and a peace that you won't feel anywhere else. And I mean, alhamdulillah, we live in a place, South Africa, or wherever you might be in the world, ilm is on tap. Literally on tap. So what you seek is seeking you. So go out and find this knowledge. You can only love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And you can only fall in love with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you knew his character, his personality, his life, his seerah. And by learning more and more about him, that's how we fall in love with him and his character, and that's how we emulate his ways, because we find it so fascinating and, you know, so beautiful, subhanallah.
Exactly. And how can you claim to love someone or something if you don't know anything? It's like, ask a lady how she met her husband, and she'll sit with you the whole day telling you every detail, every color, every story.
Yes.
But we say we love them, we know everything about them. But then we say we love Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask someone to talk about it for like 15 minutes and we just, it's so overwhelming. Can't you do it tomorrow rather?
And like you were saying earlier, we get stuck in these roles that we play. And alhamdulillah, these are all pathways to Jannah, being a mother, being a wife, alhamdulillah, for the pleasure of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think your kids want a doormat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe they think they do. But really, I think our kids are looking to us as examples of what adult life is really like. Because psychologically, they are going to model their behavior on what they saw their parents doing. They see how we manage our lives. They really do notice how happy we are, and it impacts their expectations of adulthood. You aren't doing them any favors by living in a way that diminishes you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so important for us to know our worth and to be, you know, to live our best existence and to find happiness.
Yes.
And happiness is only, you know, true contentment is only found in the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah. Like you said, this is soul food.
Mm-hmm.
Subhanallah. So the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. All those Ummahat students that are listening, please give us a call. Any questions out there, please give us a call. The lines are open, 011-854-1548. The time is just gone 14:45. We will be back on the other side of this. 14:48. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Adhikrayat show. I'm your hostess Neem, and today we're talking about the power of women, self-worth, and the secrets of women who value themselves. And we're joined by a special guest in the studio, my very best friend, Aba Zaira Kareem from Ummahat, who was discussing her tour, her upcoming UK tour in October, inshallah. Aba Zaira, just for those listeners that have just tuned in now, and for those listening in the UK, what can they expect from you in the UK in October, inshallah?
They can expect a very scared, nervous someone trying to make some kind
no,
of effort.
No, you're going to be amazing, inshallah.
Well, you can expect what we have exactly, what we have here, the kind of teachings that we do here. Inshallah, a very open discussion on women and the psychology behind it all. The Ummahatul Mu'mineen, we're going to be covering what women are, what kind of women we are. And we're going to dig deep into the whole aspect of us. And it's going to be fun because we're talking about ourselves. And I mean, we all love to talk about what we are and who we are. So I'll be talking about women with reference to the Quran, to the Hadith, and to the lifestyle and stories of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, introducing to you a concept that we have over here at our madrasas, alhamdulillah. And if, inshallah, it goes well, then we intend to spread Ummahat all over.
MashaAllah, and I know from being a student myself at Ummahat, it's almost addictive, MashaAllah, because your approach, MashaAllah, is very holistic. Not only is Aba Zaira a graduate of Madrasa Mu'inul Islam, which makes her a qualified alima, but she's also a graduate of UNISA, and she's qualified in, she has her honors in psychology, MashaAllah. So there's an extreme amount of psychology in the Hadith, in the Sharia, and in the Quranic verses, and MashaAllah, you know, being skilled in both facets, mashallah, it really takes your classes to another level. Okay. And I can bear witness to that because I'm a student of yours, alhamdulillah. So what makes a strong woman? What would you say is a strong woman? Who is a strong woman?
You, listeners, all the listeners of Ummahat, all the women out there, you are strong, you just need to realize it. However, and you need to realize your strength as well. You see, it's not my strength to be in the kitchen all day, because I know that's not my strength, and so I don't focus too much on that. So realize what your strength is and go with that. It will take you places. So some of us, alhamdulillah, we are good at teaching. Let's go with that. Mm-hmm. Some of us are passionate about art. Let's go with that. But don't do something that's out of your box, because that somehow we're not as good as we would.
And I don't think it'll fit well with your soul. You'll feel restless. You know when you're valuing yourself because it feels good.
Definitely.
Subhanallah. You know, I was just discussing this earlier with a client of mine, and we were speaking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts us with different talents and gifts and favors. And it's almost like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designs us. Mm-hmm. And He knows our DNA. He knows our genetic makeup. And in having said that, He designs a special gift and talent for us. And just think of the scenario. Imagine your husband. He knows you so well. He knows your temperament. He knows what you like, what you don't like. He knows your favorite color. And for example, I know your favorite color is blue. And Muhammad brings this beautiful gift, you know, wraps it up in just the perfect wrapping. And I know you love Arabic art, so it's all wrapped in your favorite, geometric shapes and whatever. I hope he's listening. And, you know, every day he comes and he gives you the gift. And you say, MashaAllah, Jazakallah, I'm so happy I got this gift. And you leave it there on your table. And every day he walks past and the gift is still lying there, and he says, but my darling Zaira, haven't you opened this gift? And you're like, no, I'm running to madrasa, or I'm going to do errands, I'm doing this, but you still haven't opened this gift, and he's taken 3 or 4 months to think up of something to give you, and you know, all the effort and emotional turmoil he went through to get this gift and preparing this gift for you, and you still haven't opened it. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels, that He's given us this gift, and we're going to go back to Him and return to Him with a brand new box that we haven't even opened. So utilize that gift. Use it till it's broken. You know, these eyes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, but these are gifts, these are ni'mats. Use it to see the best in this world. Use it to see the best in people. Use it to view the creation of Allah and, you know, marvel over the magnificence of Allah's creation. And these hands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, like you said, whether you're good at cooking or molding beautiful sculptures or cake decorating or whatever creativity you're good at, use it in the path of Allah. But you'll know when you're using it, because your soul will feel content and you will feel happy and you will feel at ease. So know your worth. It's so important as women. And one more thing, you know, as strong women, don't compare yourself to others. Because strong women don't compare themselves to others. They compare themselves to themselves, to who they were yesterday. Because this competition is only within yourself, because you're trying to get better and better than who you were yesterday. Mm-hmm. Not better than your sister, not better than your neighbors, because everybody's on their own journey.
Definitely.
You know, and we become inspired and motivated by the happiness of others, not intimidated or discouraged when we see others happy. So inshallah, these are small little things that we can tweak in our minds, in our own selves, in our mental state and in our spiritual state. And inshallah, once we sow the seeds in our minds, then it can become more physically productive for us.
Inshallah, definitely.
Inshallah. Also speaking about, you know, living in the spirit of generosity, what can you share with the listeners? I'm sure you. This is everything that you've ever made dua for. And you're, mashallah, living your dream. And it's such an inspiration, you know, to see this in you. Because, you know, I've known you from the beginning of your journey. So, mashallah, it's a proud moment for me as well.
I think ever since I was 13 years old, this was the only thing I ever wanted to do. I remember sketching pictures of what I wanted my madrasa to look like, figuring out how much I'm going to pay my ustads. I remember doing this
at
so
13.
Often. At 13 years old.
That's and before I even knew you.
Exactly. And I mean, you have these big dreams and life happens. So shaitan and life and people will constantly try and bring you down and your experiences and all of that. But you see, if we always go back to that 13-year-old you and what you wanted and what fulfills you, you can overcome all those hurdles with the support of your friends and your family. And alhamdulillah, I can tell you that Ummahat had a lot to do with my friends, alhamdulillah, especially Tasneem sitting right here in front of me, that encouraged me to be better and do. And I promise you, to those of you out there who want to do things, that's all you need. And if you don't want to do something, and you know someone that does, you be the inspiration behind them, because adalu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi, that the person that assists you and, you know, helps you, it's like the person who does it themselves. So why not be the voice behind someone's inspiration towards being better and doing better? So all of this did not come easily, but I've always felt like deen does not have to be so complicated. And those of us that have the ability to share deen, we don't always have to be better than everyone and sound holier than everyone. We can also come down and we can talk like people to one another. And I think just that desire to share whatever it is that we learned over the years, the experience that we've had over the years, and for those of you who know me, there's a lot of experience down there. And so, inshallah, I think the hope is to take all of that and then combine it with psychology, with Islam, and then make this beautiful baby that we can teach the whole world, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, share what you have, share your talent.
Okay, in terms of your upcoming UK tour, is there any other details being released yet?
So every week we'll be sending out like a snippet of what we're going to be doing. I think at the moment a lot of people are not aware on how to register and all of that. There's a contact number, Mohsina Patel, on the poster that we've been sending around. And if you just send your name, your community, to that contact number, she will then jot down your name. You will be registered that way, and then we're going to put you into your community categories, form WhatsApp groups, and then I myself will be in contact with you guys. Obviously, it's just too soon to delve into all of that. So your name, the minute you message her, you are automatically being registered. I think there'll be a small fee of just £5 to attend these the events, because it is for 2 days, inshallah, just to take care of whatever necessities we need to do. And
just in terms of the listeners out there in the UK, which cities will you be visiting?
So we'll be first touching base in Birmingham. From Birmingham, we'll start off our workshop, inshallah, in Birmingham. And then we'll go to, I think it's Leicester from there, to another 2 days in Leicester. From Leicester, we'll be going to London. And then from London to Blackburn, inshallah, and back home. And hopefully, inshallah, we can spread the name of Allah, the love for Allah, everywhere we go with everything we do.
Ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from strength to strength, Aba Zahira. And, you know, take Ummahat from strength to strength, and may it spread all across the world. Ameen. Because ilm is like rain. It needs to go everywhere and wet whoever is ready to take it and accept it, inshallah.
Definitely.
And may it light up the Siratul Mustaqim for you and for everybody that you touch, inshallah.
You know, you're just saying that, and I know we've come to the end of the program, but something that I discussed with you as well is our Ustad used to always tell us, be like the rain. that you're not a well. People don't have to come to you to get something. You be like the rain and you wet everyone and everything, even the people that don't want it. And so I've taken that along through my life with me, that you don't want to, I'll come there and I'll rain all over England, inshallah.
Inshallah. England has enough rain, Abba Zahira. You bring the African sunshine to England, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. That brings us to the end of the show. I'm on a super high adrenaline rush. It was so exciting having you in studio with me. I wish we can do this more often. I know you're a very busy woman, but jazakallah for joining us. May Allah Ta'ala take you from strength to strength, inshallah. And I know you're going to go to amazing places. This is just the start of your magnificent journey, inshallah.
I accept. And jazakallah to all of the Ummah students and my friends that have supported us along this way. It's not easy dealing with me, I know that. But alhamdulillah, you've supported and been there. And especially to Muhammad, it's not every day you wake up and you say to your husband, let's go to London and give dawah. And they say, let's go.
So inshallah.
Allah accept all of us, inshallah, to be there and aspire to be better and just there for one another as a Ummah.
MashaAllah. And we're speaking about strength, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from strength to strength, and you are surely one strong woman. MashaAllah. May we know them, be them, may we raise them, and may we be raised amongst them, inshallah. To all the strong men out there, especially to Muhammad Patel from Ahsan Apparel, you owe me credit for this. Appreciate, love, and encourage the strong women in your life, because as strong as we may be, even now and then we need someone to take our hand and tell us everything will be alright. Then you can sit back and enjoy watching us move those mountains. And Zahira's going to be rocking the UK, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.